right, this week's episode of Magnify, we're joined by EXP's Vicky Williams. How are we doing, Vicky?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm good. So I always let the guests introduce themselves because I feel like you can do a better job than I will of giving us the lowdown on who you are. So I'll let you get on with that and then we'll kind of dive into our conversation today.
Okay, sounds good. My name is Vicky Williams. I am with EXP Realty as of 4 years last month. I've been in real estate for 29 years and have always been with little independent brokerages, but I did join EXP 4 years ago. Started real estate in Tallahassee, Florida. Then I moved to the panhandle of Florida, so Destin, Panama City Beach, Miramar Beach, et cetera. And then moved up to Tennessee 7 years ago. So I'm in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area. And now I have a small team called the Willow Group. And we are just doing big things here in Middle Tennessee. Love the real estate market. Love real estate. And aside from that, I'm married and I have 7 grandkids.
All right. So many questions to ask you.
Okay.
You've been in the game for 29 years. So you've seen it all. How have you kind of navigated all the different changes in the market? You know, so how things are now, we probably haven't really seen it like this, right? In the time you've been in the industry?
You know, what I love about real estate is it's always changing. You know, it never gets boring, never gets dull. I have been through many different market types. This market is a little, you know, familiar with the higher interest rates. At one point in my career, I think rates were around 8.5% was kind of the norm. So this is new to a lot of newer agents and younger buyers, but I've been through this before. What I hadn't been through before was the craziness of like 2 years ago where people were paying $100,000 over list price, 30 offers on a house in the first 4 hours on the market. It was nuts. So that was challenging to navigate around. But, you know, I think we just have to continually be learning. You know, there's that quote, if you're not learning, you're not earning. And learning how to swift and pivot and shift and pivot and kind of, you know, follow the market and just stay ahead of it or at least stay with it and not get left behind.
Yeah. So I mean, let's go back to the beginning. How did you get started in real estate? I want to kind of get to what's changed in your business since then. But let's start there. How did you get into real estate?
Yeah.
And what was that like 29 years ago?
So fun question. I'm so glad you asked that. So I was a young single mom with 2 babies and was working for a temp agency. And that was back when temp agencies were a big thing. Yeah. And I was a temp at a real estate firm. It was like my 4th temp gig as the receptionist. And they just needed someone temporarily. So I was there for about a month. But while I was there, being 23 years old and seeing these people in their early 30s living what looked to be like the dream life, coming and going when they wanted to, making a ton of money, seemingly having a very easy life. Of course, it looks easy on the outside, right?
Yeah.
I said, I really want to do this. This is what I want to do for a living. You know, I didn't have a college education. And so the appeal was quick licensing, quick income, and what looked to be an easy job. So I got into real estate then, and I was blessed to be the personal assistant for our broker for many years, but he was also the top producing agent in our market. So I got to learn a lot from the real estate side of things, but also the broker operations side of things, and just got a really well-rounded mentorship from him. Then I moved to the panhandle after being licensed for 16 years, and that was completely different. I went from primary residential owner-occupied real estate to short-term rentals, second homes, condos, completely different market, and had to learn a whole lot of new terms and financing options and contract writing. It was just completely different. And then moved to Tennessee, where it's even different here. But what has evolved for me and how my business has changed over the years is I always looked at myself as a realtor, right? I'm a realtor. I was just a realtor working for a broker for so many years. And in the last 4 years, I've really kind of flipped the script on myself that, no, I'm a business owner. This is my business. And I treat it like a business now, and I'm more intentional, and instead of being a responsive agent, you know what I mean? Like a responsive agent is someone like they're going to do a great job with the phone rings. They're going to go show the house, list the house, go to the appointments, but they're responding to a need. And now I'm really intentional about my business. It has really changed significantly since that mindset shift.
What was the cause of that mindset shift? Were you in a place where business wasn't as booming as it had been, or was it more of a personal thing that you felt like you were spending too much time on the wrong things?
So honestly, it's a great question. A lot of it was just age, right? You've been doing the same thing over and over and over again for so many years, and you want to see different results. So you have to do things differently, right?
Yeah.
And then a lot of it was just switching brokerages to the brokerage I'm with now. I was able to really take a lot of classes and masterminds that helped me change the way I thought about my business.
Yeah. Well, can you give us some examples of some of the things that you've changed in terms of how your intentions with certain activities changed and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm definitely better now at planning my days ahead. At night, I plan what I'm going to do the next day. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I really didn't have a plan. I just was reactional, you know?
Yeah.
I was kind of like a duck in the water, just kind of flapping about. I really had no course or direction. So now I have a plan. I have structure. I have time blocking. I have started listening more to podcasts, real estate podcasts, mentors that I look up to in the real estate industry. So I have an option instead of listening to a novel audio book or whatever. Mm-hmm. I choose to listen to someone that's been successful in real estate that I can learn from. So all of these things have kind of changed my outlook on my business. I took ownership of my finances. I created a budget, which is something that I had never done before either.
Yeah.
So, you know, that definitely changed. I have a marketing budget. I have an advertising budget. So I stick within those boundaries now, which has changed. I'm not sure if I'm really answering your question the way you want it answered. I think I interpreted it.
That was perfect. I mean, because I think the mistake a lot of agents make is that they're, and I was guilty of this when I started, and I say it all the time, is that you mistake being busy as being productive, right?
Right.
And that's not always the case. It's you do things just to kill time when you could be actually being more productive doing something else. I saw this great, there was a quote from an interview of a guy I really like, and he was talking about how you should take 15 minutes to go outside in the middle of the day and be in the sun. Don't think of it as you're taking a break. You're actually working, because the benefits of being outside, getting the fresh air, getting the sunlight on your skin, you're going to be more productive later in the day. So that's exactly what you were saying about changing your mindset from being a realtor to being a business owner. Because a lot of realtors spend a lot of time just being busy bees, right? Worker bees, doing all the work. I'm busy, busy, busy. The money's going to come. But it's not always the case. So I love to hear that you kind of change that vibe.
Yeah, you know, another thing that I really did, I heard this great advice from somebody that said, focus on one or two things in real estate and just do it very well. I think as realtors, I know I was guilty of it. You're always chasing the leads and chasing the next opportunity and chasing, chasing, chasing. So I got distracted by the shiny things. Oh, I'll try this. Oh, you know, he's successful at door knocking. I'm going to be a successful door knocker, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But A, be passionate about what you're doing, because if you're doing it, but you're not passionate about it, you're not going to succeed at it. And B, don't try to be the master of 20 different lead generation ideas or prospecting ideas. Find one or two that you really resonate with and dive all in and give it 120%. So I've really kind of streamlined my business in the last couple of years by doing that as well. Just getting hyper-focused on what I enjoy doing and doing it to the best of my ability.
Yeah, definitely. I think the shiny toy syndrome is definitely a big thing in real estate. And it's not even just how to generate leads. It's like, I mean, I did it when I was when I first started. I think I tried every single CRM there was, thinking this is going to be the one that's going to make me money. But it doesn't come down to that. And I think the way you've got to get out of that mindset is thinking, if I just focus on this one thing, and if I don't focus on this one thing, excuse me, and I start chasing all these other things, I could have generated business from that one thing, but now I'm not going to because I'm too distracted. And it's always, you know, the saying, there's not much traffic on the extra mile. because people don't want to go the extra mile. They quit too soon. Can you kind of talk about what those one or two things are now that you focus on?
Absolutely. So we're both part of something that has really changed my business mm-hmm. a lot, and that is Agent Hub 360. And through that model, I have participated in listings to leads for lead generation, something I hadn't done in the past. But having the ability to, and for those that don't know about listings to leads, what I love about it is you don't have to have your own listing. So I've primarily been a buyer's agent. I enjoy working with buyers. It's kind of my thing. Yeah. So even if I don't have an active listing of my own, I can borrow a listing, market that, and lead generate from that platform, which has been great. One thing I love about that platform is when the buyer or the prospect is registering, they give you a time frame. They say that they're either just dreaming or that they're looking at 1 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months, 6 months to 12 months, or 12 months longer. So you kind of can, if you don't have a lot of time to pick up the phone and call, you can prioritize and call the one that's looking in the next 1 to 3 months, right?
Yeah.
But Agent Hub 360 also having that back-end virtual assistant platform has been able to call my old leads and reinvigorate them and reconnect me with them. They've also been able to do some live introductions with me from some very serious buyers through this listings to lead marketing and connect me on the phone immediately so that I have an opportunity to take them to the next level. And I'll give you a quick example of one that I recently did for those that are interested. It was an ad, a borrowed listing from a colleague of mine for a lake property, not lakefront, but in the lake area near me. So I paid $35 for a 5-day ad on Facebook, got several leads in. I don't remember how many. One of those turned into a live introduction, and that buyer is looking for a second home. $800,000 range, cash buyer in the next 1 to 3 months. So to have the opportunity to have a lead for a minimal expense, $35 for the ad, but having the support of the virtual assistants that are getting them on the phone and getting them transferred to me has changed a lot of my business too. You know, I don't like cold calling. I don't like picking up the phone and calling someone. So getting that, and I'm sure a lot of realtors feel that way too. So getting that live introduction, that speed to lead has been great.
Yeah, you know, you touched on the price that you pay for that. Obviously, I know the story, but, you know, let's talk a little bit about that span. Was it 6 months, 5-6 months, where you generated a lot of potential business with pretty minimal ad spend? You know, people hear online lead generation, they think they have to spend tens of thousands of dollars, but you spend what, $600, $700?
$1,600 for over 200 leads. I can't remember the exact number, but I know gross commission income potential off of those leads is over $200,000 gross commission income potential. And it's because I'm not spreading my self. Yeah, Agent Hub 360 does have an expense as well. So it's not just the $35 on Facebook ads, but because I've decided to go all in on this one platform, I'm seeing massive results versus spreading myself out on different, you know, Zillow, Realtor, this, that, and the other, you know, has made a difference.
You know, and actually that's a good example of, you know, you're talking about how you hate cold calling. If you had been cold calling when that call came in for the live introduction, you probably would have missed the call, and then you may not have spoken to the guy, and then you may not have had this in the works, right? So it just goes, that's the kind of example I was kind of referring to, where if you kind of divest your time, you spread yourself too thin. It's not going to be productive. So you mentioned Agent Hub 360 and the delegation. I do want to hear about how you run your team, especially as you span two different states. I can imagine that's pretty difficult to keep tabs on everything. How do you manage that? Let's backtrack a little bit even more, because I'm always interested in hearing why you started a team and then how you started a team. Who were the first people you hired? How did that kind of look?
So when I was in Florida in the panhandle, my sister got her real estate license and we started a team in Florida. So we worked side by side for several years. And then my husband and I decided to relocate to Tennessee. And it was scary. You know, I was moving to a brand new market. I had no sphere of influence. I had no repeat clients or referral business to rely on. I didn't know the contracts. I didn't know the market. I didn't know the inventory. It was like being a brand new agent. So the fact that I was able to grow as quickly as I did to even need a team was astonishing. You know, I really give a lot of credit to eXp Realty. They have masterminds that I'm on every single week. And I would get a lot of tips and advice and tricks that they were giving brand new agents. And while I wasn't a brand new agent, I needed to hear those things because I was starting in a brand new market. And I just took the advice and I ran with it. And, you know, I've since become a mentor with eXp. And I will tell you what I've learned mentoring is that there's a difference between the doers and the listeners. You know, somebody can listen to all the advice in the world and make down and, oh, that sounds like a great idea. And I should do that. I might do that. Or I'm going to do that. I am doing that. I will do that. And so I had the mindset that I was going to take all the advice I could get and do it. And so my first year at eXp Realty, I capped. My second year, I made Icon Agent and started becoming a mentor. And it was that year that I decided, you know, Nashville's a huge market. I came from the beach where we had like an 11-mile stretch of sand we covered. And then I moved to Nashville. It's a big market. I was like, I can't physically be all over servicing these buyers and sellers. So my two daughters got their real estate license and joined me in Tennessee originally. I hired a transaction coordinator. I knew that was a big piece of my puzzle that I needed right off the bat as business grew. If you are doing more than 12 to 15, you know, deals a year, I think it's important to have someone managing the contract to closing details for you. Personally. And then my daughters got out of real estate. They got it, it got out very quickly. And so I was like, okay, well now what do? I've got this team logo. I've got this team name. I've got all this branding. I need a team. So I just reached out to some agents in my company that I respected, that I thought had the same work ethic as I did and wanted to grow alongside of me and invited them to come join my team. And I had some people come in and come out, you know, and you know, It's not for everyone to be on a team.
How do you manage the team? Are you pretty hands-on? Or do you kind of set the standard up front and let the team work? And then if you see anything you have to, or, you know, fire you have to put out, you handle that. What's your management style like?
I'm pretty hands-on. Yeah. I love mentoring and I love assisting and I love helping. So I'm pretty hands-on. We meet once a week. We alternate in person or Zoom. And then if they need me, I'm always available. I always pick up my phone. I always answer my text messages. I don't micromanage. I don't review every single thing they do. I don't need to, but I'm pretty hands-on.
Okay. And for the transaction coordinators, just because I know there'll be agents that are interested, are you paying them on a per transaction basis or per file basis? Or is it, do you have someone like salaried or retained for a certain period?
Yeah, it's per transaction. And it is a fee that some agents will transfer to their client and have their client pay that fee at closing. I choose to pay it myself and I just 1099 her at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean to me, that's just an expense that buys you time back, right? So it's worth putting that time in, allows you to focus on. You could probably get an extra deal. If, like you said, if you're doing 12, 15 deals a year, you could probably get a whole extra deal out of the time you've saved from not having to deal with the contracts.
100% pays for itself. Yes, absolutely.
So being in the industry for 29 years, I'm curious what the most difficult deal you've had to work on is.
Oh, well, in Tennessee, I'll tell you what it was. It was being a facilitator. So in Tennessee, you know, you can't represent the buyer and the seller. There's no dual agency. So if you have both sides, you transition into a facilitator role. That is difficult. I want to be loyal to my clients. I want to represent them. I want to fight for them and go to battle. And, you know, and I can't as a facilitator. And I then become more of a mediator and a messenger type role. That was difficult for me. You know, I would say overall, that's a hard question. You know, in real estate, we just have to become master problem solvers, right?
Yeah.
So we don't sell houses, we solve problems. And every transaction, almost every transaction is going to have a problem that he's solving. And so they've all had their little pieces of difficultness. I don't know if I can remember my most difficult one. I try not to remember those. Let's say that. I try to stay positive.
You know, I think you would have a great career in politics. That was a very professional professional answer. I love that. So let's look to the future. We've talked about a bit about your past. Where do you see yourself and your business in the next 5 years? Were you looking to expand into other markets? You looking just to grow the team in the market you're in? What does that look like for you?
So, you know, I had dreams once of expanding into other markets, but I've decided not to spread myself so thin and keep it kind of small and intimate and keep things kind of the way they are. But one thing I do plan to do a little differently is become more hyper local. So when I first moved to Tennessee, I was a new agent in the market. I needed income, right? So I was kind of grabbing everything I could grab. But now that I'm more established here and I've been in the business here for 4 years now, I really want to start kind of becoming personally more hyper local, more diving into my local community, joining the Chamber of Commerce, which I should have already done, doing local networking and just loving on my people in my own community and growing my personal business here while my team can handle the things that are outside of my area. And then, you know, growing my organization. So there's an opportunity for some passive income there. And I would love in the next 5 to 7 years see myself more just mentoring and helping other agents and being less production.
Okay.
So that's the plan.
On that topic, I was going to segue into where the industry is going to be in the next 5, 10 years, but I did also have a question that relates to this in terms of mentoring and helping agents. New agent comes to you now. What's the advice you're giving them? What are the next 3 to 5 plays or 5 moves that they need to make to get their business thriving? What are your suggestions?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. Okay, number one, get your CRM and get into your CRM and master your CRM, because I didn't have a CRM my first 22 years of the business.
Oh, wow.
22 years of lost opportunities. Oh my gosh, that's horrible, right? Shame on me. But I didn't have anyone telling me to have a CRM. When I got into real estate, we didn't have CRMs. We didn't even have Excel hardly. You know what I mean? So I wish I had someone tell me that a long time ago. So get a CRM, get into it, learn it, use it. Don't be a secret agent. Let everyone know that you're in real estate. Find opportunities to bring it up in conversations without being salesy. But a lot of new agents that I've mentored, I find that they feel like they're going to get their real estate license, they're going to tell their friends and family, and then the business is just going to start coming to them because everyone loves them and wants to give them business. Your friends and family don't want to refer you because you're brand new and they don't know if you're going to do a good job or not. They're not going to put their name on the line for you. You haven't sold anything. So don't rely on your friends and family. My goodness, get out there and find some business. So don't be a secret agent. Really build your lender partner, your title partner, your inspector partner, find those relationships, find people you could trust and lean on them for support and, build those relationships. They're going to help you a lot. Become the mayor of your hometown, get out there and go to the locally owned businesses. Tell them, hey, I'm a locally owned business owner too. I own my own real estate license. I'm a realtor and I need, you know, I'd love to support your business. How can I support you? If you're supporting other people, they're going to want to support you in return. So one of the things I did early on in Tennessee is I went out to my local businesses and I asked if I could interview them. Can I do an interview with you on Facebook? Can I promote any upcoming sales you have or any products you're trying to, you know, what do you have coming up at an event that I can help you promote? And then we became friends and it snowballed from there. So those are the first few things I would say to do. And take as much training as you can. Don't ignore the training, because what you learn in real estate school, you're not going to use in real estate. They don't teach you what you need to know. So find a brokerage that has amazing training and take the training.
Okay, I love that. So then to the question I was going to ask, where do you see the industry going? And I think you've actually touched on a few points, which is where I think the industry is going to. Where do you think it's going to be in the next 5 to 10 years? What do you see changing?
The industry,
even the opportunities for agents also.
Yeah. You know, that's a great question. I hadn't thought of that one. So I think we're going to see, you know, we're kind of in this world of a lot of people don't really see the value in agents because they could do a lot of things online themselves. They could look for houses. They could do loan estimates. Like, what do they need a realtor for, right? They could almost write their own contracts. So I see agents are going to have to really hone in on what values they can provide their clients and set themselves apart from their competition by adding a lot of value. I think that, in my market, at least, I don't see a slowdown of any kind. If interest rates continue to rise, I think we're going to start seeing maybe some lease purchases get back in the market that used to be out there, some owner financing options. So getting familiar with those alternative types of financing. If we start seeing foreclosures again, like we did in 2007, 2008, you may need to get familiar with short sales and foreclosures, because with higher interest rates, a lot of buyers, I think, are buying into that, hoping the rates will come down and they can refinance. But what if they don't? We don't have a crystal ball, right? So we could see a spike in financial hardships with homeowners in the near future, the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah. Yes, it's interesting. You touched on it a couple of times there about your intentions and where you think your business will be getting hyper-local. I actually think that's where the opportunities are going to be for agents. I think a lot of realtors have gotten away with not having relationships in their local market because of the online leads. I think that's become so saturated that being a presence and being a voice and a name and a face in your community is where the opportunity lies and how you're going to have a sustainable business. And it's really the bedrock of real estate, right? Like, that's how you started all the way back then, 29 years ago, and it's how you're going to keep continuing to stay in business and thriving. So I really think that's, you're like a shining beacon of what real estate is and should be. In the midst of all of these, trends and things like that. So take my metaphorical hat off to you.
Thank you so much.
We've got to our kind of average time. I won't keep you any longer. I know you're really busy. So where can people find you? It's been a great chat. I've loved hearing the road from starting 29 years ago to now. I think a lot of people can take a lot of wisdom from what we've said and apply it to their own business wherever they are in their careers.